Well, hello out there in virtual listening land, WWGH online radio listeners and people who may be hearing this program from our archives. It's so good. Hopefully you'll listen multiple times, and this will be one of our best programs because there's so much to talk about. Good news and not so good news, and items that we always open up for discussion. Of course, if you've not figured it out already, I'm Adam, the computer guy, sometimes known as Windpipe or whatever else you feel like denoting me as. Doesn't matter. I enjoy a little bit of humor. You can't laugh at yourself. Goodness sakes, why laugh at anybody? Laughter is the best medicine, and I'm a pretty funny guy. Speaking of funny, but also intelligent and erudite, gentlemen, on the line with me is Dr. Ronald L. Feynman, where L stands for lots of political and presidential knowledge. At his domicile in southeastern Florida, next 43 minutes or so, we're going to talk about some of the current news topics and try to keep this a debate-free zone, more of a this is what we feel about something and how can we just make the world better, because the bottom line is we're all Americans and we really should be on the same team. But certainly one thing Ron and I can agree is that it seems like last generation or so, we've not really been on the same team. We're kind of fighting from both ends, but maybe that can be improved. Ron, so you're we thank you again for being on with us. You are in southeastern Florida in Boca Raton, and as we talked about off the air, you didn't get too much of
an
effect,
by the way,
from Hurricane Ian. Just some of the fringe, obviously, because Florida is a peninsula.
I was teaching at Florida Atlantic University on Tuesday, and it was quite a bit of rain and some flooding coming back home. So I was supposed to do a lecture in the afternoon in Delray Beach, but they tend to be lower level and get more flooding, so I canceled it. And I was a little unnerved coming home, but it was just rain and wind. It was not good, but it was not the main issue that was in southwest Florida and central Florida. But it's an horrendous development, and it makes me feel very unnerved about living in Florida now.
We are broadcasting this show on the 3rd of October, so we probably will repeat it, or you'll hear it in the archives. So some of this may be from several days ago, but we are having this discussion just as Ian is moving in a northern direction, and the impact has been devastating on the other side of Florida, including a client and friend of mine who lives in the Naples area. And
Naples and Fort Myers, and then went to Orlando and Jacksonville and St. Augustine and on to South Carolina, yes.
The climate change that you've talked about, Ron, in your blog, and we invite people who are not yet familiar with the blog, we won't spank you or anything, but please bookmark this blog and read it daily. Even if you don't agree with it, it'll take you 1 to 2 minutes to read, and you'll come away a more learned person, and it'll help, I think, encourage opinions, regardless of whether or not they're consistent with what Ron posts. The blog is theprogressiveprofessor.com. Please do read that, and many times we talk about the recent blog entries. And again, they're a combination of opinion and some historical tidbits, and always a surprise or two, and sometimes you do giggle, because, again, giggling is so important, especially in today's society. You've had many blog entries, Ron, about climate change. And, you know, with me, I agree that there is climate change. I think it's often over-dramatized, and it's been a political pawn with Governor Inslee in Washington. I really agreed with him greatly on how he had his own net neutrality when Donald Trump didn't seem to understand that. But when it comes to climate change, I agree it exists, but I think he's over-dramatizing it and making it sound like it's the most important issue. It is important, but I think it's been overdone by him and many others. But as a Floridian, Ron, where hurricanes are a major risk, we often get some of the after effects of hurricanes here in the northeastern Midwest, but in Florida, hurricanes are a threat during a rather large portion of the year. Do you feel that
Louisiana and the whole Gulf Coast in Texas also is always in danger? Yes.
Do you feel that climate change?
It's all low lying. That's the problem. So it creates a problem about rebuilding, like in Fort Myers and the whole area in the southwest part of the state, and even on this side, the east side, is it worth it to keep on building near the ocean? And I don't know. And also those who have trailers, I mean, that's very dangerous if you live in a trailer rather than an actual building. So I don't know what the future is going to be of the state of Florida, but the governor has major problems ahead if he's reelected, or Charlie Crist, the former governor, if he gets elected, because it's going to take years to rebuild, and the question is to do it the proper way, and I'm not sure what it is.
Do you feel that climate change has made the hurricane situation more dangerous? That's kind of implied in the blogs, or I know.
Well, I'm not a scientist, but I gather the warming of the planet does have an effect, yes, and that's also caused the fires out west and the droughts that are in the western states, and then of course around the world. My God, I mean, one third of Pakistan is underwater from horrible, rains they had there, monsoon rains. And so, I mean, it really is a worldwide crisis. It really is.
Now, we talked about Jay Inslee. Again, I mentioned there's one thing about him that I really like, the net neutrality, and especially in Washington with all the tech companies in that state. You remember the debates, and we've talked about it in the past. Do you think he and others have over-dramatized, exaggerated the climate change, or maybe should we listen more to them, that it is a high priority issue? Any thoughts on that?
Well, I'm not an expert, but I think Republicans have ignored the climate crisis. Maybe Democrats are saying too much out of it, but I think they're more in the right direction, because just ignoring it and claiming it's temporary or that's not going to be a problem. I mean, you see all the damage that's been done by fires in the West and by floods in the Midwest, like in Kentucky, and the hurricanes and even the Arctic starting to melt and all that. There's so many indications by scientists, and I'm not a scientist, that would make we feel that we're not taking it seriously enough. But it is a worldwide problem, and we can't do it all by ourselves. The other nations have to cooperate too.
So I guess it is kind of hard to say, plus the increased population.
We have too many people on the planet, I'm sorry to say. We really don't need 7 to 8 billion people. It's going to keep on growing. It sounds great to people who don't believe in abortion, but honestly, there's an argument. We don't need more and more people all the time. We don't have we don't have the resources for them all. But of course, that gets into organized religion, and you know what that means. That's a real controversy.
Yeah, it's a fascinating topic. And you know, me with my science background, I mean, more indirectly when it comes to the things related to the climate change, but the colloidal science is actually quite related to that in terms of pollutants, chemical substances that are depleting the ozone layer. I know a little bit about that. I'm still kind of undecided. I just do think it's often used as a pawn. That is so that it is overemphasized, but I do believe it exists.
I would say that we need to be more, I tend to more agree with Al Gore and John Kerry that this is a real crisis and that we have to overplan for it, not underplan, which I think we have done, unfortunately. And if Republicans win control of Congress, they're not going to do anything in the next 2 years on it. And I think it's a disaster. We have to spend more on the issue of climate change and global warming, I believe.
I mean, there is always that balance between being prepared and over-dramatizing, spending too much money, too many resources. And, you know, I'm a bit torn, I mean, on many issues. I kind of changed my mind, and I do wonder, again, if I were younger, one thing that I might have, because I always thought about being a meteorologist when I was a kid. I mean, just doing the weather forecast for the station, that's close, but not being a real meteorological scientist. I might have studied this more, because it is fascinating and there's a political aspect to it. A bit of a party divide. Yeah, so I really don't know, but it's certainly one of many, many important issues.
But one thing I got to say, meteorology drives me crazy. You look up the Weather Channel online, and they tell you what's going to happen, and half the time it doesn't happen as far as rain or whatever. You're trying to plan for the day, and you think, oh, it's going to be heavy rain, and it doesn't rain. Other times it says it's going to be clear, and then it's rain. So it's definitely, it's not an absolute science, meteorology, with all the satellites and everything else.
Ironically, Ron, the politics enters into meteorology. And the concept of climate change and how things are going to change. How do we prioritize? Sometimes more things seem different the more they are the same. But that just makes for good Good Talk Radio. Adam here with Dr. Ron Feinman talking about some of the current events. But we shall see. Let's hope that this hurricane season is not...
I do think Governor DeSantis, his future of running for president will be determined by how he handles this in the next year, you know, in the year 2023. If he cooperates with the federal government and a lot is accomplished, it'll benefit him. If he ends up going back to partisanship, as he tends to do, I think it's going to harm him in the race for the nomination.
Before we get to the lighter topics, and just in terms of the handling of the hurricane situation, you've mentioned that under Governor Jeb Bush, he's a Republican,
yes,
but fairly moderate.
He's a moderate Republican. Of course, George W. Bush's brother and President George H. W. Bush's son. But he actually, in 2004 and 2005, we had four hurricanes, not so much right here where we are, although one hurricane was, but the others were in other parts of the state. And he was really exceptional. I mean, he really was good. But he's a different kind of a person. He doesn't confront people and tell media he's not going to talk to them. Unfortunately, Ron DeSantis will not, even at his press gatherings, have anybody but Fox News. He won't invite CNN, MSNBC, CBS, ABC. He tends to see them as the enemy, and that is not going to help him, because even Donald Trump, he attacks the media, but he welcomes everybody talking to him, like Maggie Haberman in this new book, who he certainly doesn't like. But that's the whole thing. At least he's smart enough, Trump. He talks to everybody, but DeSantis tends to ignore people he doesn't want to deal with, and that's not the way that you can succeed in politics, I don't think. You can't be hostile and antagonistic to those who are critical of you. You got to be willing to talk to them.
Ron, so far, how do you think Governor Ron, maybe we'll call him Ron number two, because you were on the planet about 30 years before he was. So how so far has Ron number two handled the situation, and how do you think he will handle
in the future? What do I think of
DeSantis,
you're saying?
Yes, we'll call him Ron number two, because you have about 30 years on him.
Please don't. I thought when he first came in that he was promising. I really had a positive attitude, even though I didn't vote for him in 2018. But he has really, I think, in so many ways, done things wrongly, and he has now made it where professors and teachers can't teach the history of race, they can't discuss gender, things like that. And you know, I'm fighting it, because I am teaching the way I'm going to always teach. And if something goes wrong and I'm told goodbye, and my 51st year, if that happens, well, then I'm gone. You know, that happens. But I believe in teaching truth, not myths, and I'm not going to be told what to teach. And so far, nobody's saying anything. But you know, in theory, he's trying to promote censorship, and that's very dangerous. He's also going after Walt Disney World, and he's firing a prosecutor who was elected, which I think is illegal in itself. It's so much he's doing. I think he's very authoritarian, and that's why I've called him fascist-oriented. I think he's really scary, and I think that I cannot imagine him being president. A lot of people think he will be, but I think he's going to self-destruct, because he refuses to talk to those who are critics of him, and I just don't think he does have a very warm personality. Even Trump, he might not like him, but he's interesting and it's exciting, but DeSantis doesn't even know how to hobnob with people. He really doesn't. He's got a lot of personality issues, I think. So I don't think he's going to go very far, but we'll see how he reacts and whether he works with President Biden on this. Short term, it seems he is, but who knows?
So
we'll have to see.
The verdict is not out yet as to Governor Ron.
We'll have to see if he gets elected in five weeks. I'm not voting for him, though. I'm voting for Charlie Crist, the former governor, who was a Republican and became an independent and then a Democrat. Actually, when he was in office from 7 through 10, I thought he was quite good, Charlie Crist. He came after Jeb Bush and before Rick Scott. And I look back and I say, we've had Republican governors since 1998, and it's too long to have the same party in control. But I think Jeb Bush, looking back, and Charlie Crist were really good. And Rick Scott is horrible. He's trying to end Social Security and Medicare in 5 years, and he's a crook. You know, he's involved with Medicare fraud and Medicaid fraud. He should be in prison, not be in the Senate and have been governor. And then, of course, DeSantis, who I think is actually worse than Scott in some ways as governor. Anyway, I think we're really in a very unpleasant situation in the state of Florida, as I see it.
But in terms of the hurricane handling, the verdict is not out yet, And
well, no, of course not. It's too soon. Yes.
But we'll have
to see what happens in the next month. And how. And another thing, a lot of people may not be able to vote because they're dislodged. So the voting might be very different. You don't know how it's going to affect the vote in November. Probably a lot fewer people are going to vote. They're not going to be thinking about voting when they don't have a place to live. So I think it's going to change the numbers, and who knows what. But I think that's why how DeSantis reacts in the next month could affect whether he gets elected to another term.
Yeah, how government officials handle things during unfortunate events. And we certainly saw that with the COVID situation.
And it's not just actions, it's words, how he acts around people and how he reacts to the federal government, which he tends to seem to hate, although he wants to be the leader of it. So we'll have to see the interaction between him and the president.
Well, I know it's fascinating, Ron, when you talk about Donald Trump being an interesting person. I mean, somewhat likable as a man. I mean, you know, he's a bit of
He's colorful.
I don't think
DeSantis is colorful. He's not colorful at all. I think there's been a couple of articles that really show how even other Republicans don't like him. Like Governor Doug Ducey was negative about him. Not that Doug Ducey's somebody to admire either, the Arizona governor. I think, you know, he tends to. Also, his wife is very powerful. I can see his wife, Casey. I'm learning more about it. And boy, she'll be some authoritarian first lady. It sounds like she's really very aggressive. And I'm not sure that's the best way to be, but. It could very well be, and we'll have to see what happens. We're learning a lot more about that family, but I think there are a lot of issues that will stand in the way of his being nominated or elected.
Somewhat aggressive, first lady. We might think of Hillary in that regard. She was the first lady with a postgraduate degree, and she almost became president. She had a senatorship, I guess that's a word, and a cabinet post. But Casey, certainly different politically. But that's what makes things interesting, isn't it? When election time comes and decide which candidate you choose, and may the chips fall where they may. Adam here with Dr. Ron Fineman, our official presidentologist and political commentator, spewing forth opinions and having some good discussion. And again, please read his blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. There have been some very good articles of late with more to come. So let's switch gears, Ron, to some more happy news. Happy and, of course, a little humorous, but that's all part of the fun. Over the weekend, Mary Ellen Withrow, we do consider her to be the First Lady of Marion, celebrated a birthday. We're not going to mention which one.
Is her birthday October 1st?
Yes, it's the past weekend.
Same day as Jimmy Carter.
Right, and it's the same.
And how old is she?
Well, we don't talk about her age, but let's say
she's in her 90s, isn't she?
Oh, she's older than you are, and yes, even older than I. Yes, and so we want to wish Mary Ellen.
I'm looking up now while you're talking to me.
Yeah, we want to wish Mary Ellen a very, very happy.
Mary Elizabeth Withrow, right?
Mary Ellen Withrow.
Oh, Mary, what's that?
Mary Ellen Withrow. Yes.
Oh, Ellen.
She was born October 2nd. We won't mention the year, but we wish her a very...
Oh, so she's born on the 2nd. Jimmy Carter's the 1st, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, wow. She is in her 90s, I'll just say that.
Yeah, we don't talk about her age, but...
God bless her. Yeah, so she's in her 90s, and Jimmy Carter just became 98, and there's a photograph of him shown. It's online that I put on Twitter already, and he's amazing, and he's married 76 years to his wife. Amazing, you know, and she's 95, the second oldest first lady now, having passed Lady Bird Johnson and Nancy Reagan this past year.
Yeah, and speaking of presidents and Hillary Clinton, Mary Ellen Withrow's boss, Bill William Jefferson Clinton, she served as U.S. Treasurer during that time. She was instrumental in redesigning the money. She has a great signature and a great friend to this radio station. So, Mary Ellen, I know you listen from time to time. Have a very happy birthday with many, many more to come. And thank you for enriching the lives of people in Marion and all over the world. And thank you for, you know, being at least a casual friend of mine and great friend to Scott's and the station. I learn every time I hear you on the air. And that's very much appreciated. So
talking about Ohio, since you're bringing her up, what's going on? What is your feeling? Because you probably know more about it, about Tim Ryan against J.D. Vance. What do you think is going to happen there? It seems pretty close.
It appears to be neck and neck and getting a bit ugly. People calling Tim Ryan, taxing Tim Ryan, and J.D. Vance rather conservative. So, you know, I can't say I'm overly enamored with either, let's put it that way. But
well, J.D. Vance seems to have had a very relaxed summer. He didn't do much campaigning. He comes across as lazy. Well, Ryan's been going all over the states, so I think Ryan may have an edge. And he is a moderate. He's not overly liberal. I mean, he's the center, so I think he's probably a perfect senator, less liberal than the other Ohio senator.
Well, we certainly shall see. Whatever happens, it'll certainly be a hotly contested race, to put it mildly. And in terms of the governorship, I think DeWine will be reelected. But Nan Whaley's been a good friend of the station, and I'm not saying I agree with everything she has to say. I'd love to see a woman governor. I'm not sure she's the one I'd want to see, but certainly there would be candidates I would find less appealing. And again, folks, I encourage you, go to the polls in November. If you're like me and find most of the candidates to be undesirable, pick the one that you feel is at least the least undesirable. I guess that's the best way to say it without sounding too confusing. And try to find the good in the candidates. I pretty much, Ron, I find good in all the candidates, even the ones that I make no...
You're not a big Mike DeWine fan, but I guess you plan to vote for him, eh?
Yeah, well, I'm... can't say I'm overly enamored with either, and I might change my mind. Again, Nan does pay visits to the station, and I listen and form my opinion at that point. They're both from the Dayton, approximate Dayton area. Mike DeWine, a professional politician, a good attorney.
He's been around forever, hasn't he?
Yeah, I mean, I think he was a great attorney general. He's pushing 80. So Nan Whaley and mayor of Dayton. And we'll find out which person is chosen. But if I were to predict, I would say DeWine. In terms of the senator, it's kind of hard to say.
Actually, Mike DeWine is 75. I just looked him up. But talking about 80, of course, November 20th, our president will be hitting 80, the first octogenarian president halfway through his term.
That will be another good topic of discussion in a few weeks for this and other programs. And we mentioned earlier, Ron, you kind of spoiled the surprise, but that's okay because it's worth spoiling. I call him the peanut president, James Earl Carter, the third or the fourth. I'm not sure which one, but he's one of a kind. President Jimmy Carter, 98 years old and still working for Habitat for Humanity. I think he's still working with his church.
Yeah, 3.5 years older than George H.W. Bush when he passed away in 2018. So I don't think any president will ever surpass his age. I wouldn't bet on it. I mean, can never be sure, of course, but I would think that his record of longevity will be the all-time record, you know.
Right. Obama's pretty healthy. He's just early 60s.
Another president doing that.
Yeah, I mean, Obama's pretty healthy, but he's only early 60s. So.
Yeah, but he smoked a lot. Years ago.
Well, we shall see. We'll bring up a little Obama story. That's the next topic. That's a much lighter topic. But yeah, Jimmy Carter, pushing 100 years old. And as we've talked about, Ron, yeah, he had a difficult presidency, and you feel he's been underrated and deserves more respect. But as a former president, he's become an elder statesman. Again, he's one of many. And again, Ronald Reagan being in the category, and Obama. And even Donald, to an extent, you like them as a person. I mean, Donald, I just appreciate, because I'm a quirky guy. I appreciate him being quirky, saying what's on his mind, you know, being a little bit out there. Doesn't mean I agree with him, but I think we could agree. He's pleasantly nutty, and he kind of grows on you, but if you like his politics, that's a different matter. But certainly, you know, Obama, Reagan, great sense of humor, you know, never at a loss of a wisecrack, you know, having been an actor, that would be understandable. You know, Obama, very well-spoken, and he was a law professor. He knows what to say, and he always comes across eloquently and with a lot of class. And Jimmy Carter, you know, that friendly southern uncle of yours, is, you know, it's kind of what he comes across as. And even to this day, pushing 100.
I got to say that you've got to give him credit, Jimmy Carter, for the Camp David Accords with Israel and Egypt, the Panama Canal Treaty, the promotion of human rights, the advancement of the environment, the best one-term environmental president, and three cabinet agencies, energy, health, and human services, and education. And he also won the Nobel Peace Prize. So even though he had problems with Iran and with the economy can happen to anybody. It's happened to both Republican and Democratic presidents. But I think he's been underrated, and he will, I think, look better once he's passed, like Harry Truman rose in esteem once he passed, not while he was alive.
You talked about environmentally, one-term president. Now, Richard Nixon, Tricky Dicky, kind of like one-and-a-half term, so since he was elected twice.
Yes, the top three, by supposedly experts would say, are Theodore Roosevelt, Richard Nixon, and Jimmy Carter, in that order, yes.
So we have, I would say, two moderate Republicans. Roosevelt being very moderate.
But he also called himself a progressive, remember? He did, and, Theodore Roosevelt, so... And compared to the Republican Party today, he's like almost like a communist.
You look at Carter's record, again, very, very moderate.
Yes, he's right in the center, which meant he lost the liberal left. The Ted Kennedy left didn't care for him, you know. But I want to also point out, by living to 98, he's outlived everybody, just about, there's a few exceptions, everybody who ever helped him in office, the cabinet members, or most of the people in Congress that he dealt with, you know, almost, I really wonder who's actually left in the 70s when he was president, that's all influential in Congress, or people in his cabinet, or other advisors he had. You know, Walter Mondale died last year, so he lasted 40-plus years, but even he passed away, so I'm not sure, but I really wonder how many actually people were around him are still around or alive, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's fascinating, and maybe there's something behind this, Ron, that Mary Ellen Withrow and Jimmy Carter, just a few years apart in age.
So that's one exception, but yeah. I really wonder, there should be a list made of who around Carter, who dealt with him in any way in Congress or in the courts or in his administration, is still alive. I really don't know what kind of a list that would be, but I don't think it's much.
Yeah, Mary Ellen close in age. And close in birthday day, and maybe there's something behind that. Two people we can learn a lot from, and we learn a lot every time Mary Ellen's on the air. And Jimmy Carter, you know, not the biggest fan of him. As I told Geronimo, I like his family. Loved Billy. Billy is a regular Southern guy, but not without a sense of humor.
The way
he would charge Republicans more at his gas station than Democrats.
All his family died of cancer years ago, much younger. He's the oldest of the family. He outlived them all, and he has cancer, but he's in remission for these last 7 years. He probably will die of cancer, but all his family, his brothers and his sisters died of pancreatic cancer, which is what Ruth Bader Ginsburg died from.
Yeah, well, Jimmy Carter's very tough. Don't let the Southern gentleman nature fool you. He's a tough cookie underneath there. And, you know, you got to like him as a person. I certainly do. Again, his family.
And his wife is quiet, but she's been around forever, too. 76 years married, imagine. Longer than the Bush marriage because, you know, both of them passed away in 18, the Bushes. So it's an amazing marriage, you know, from a very young age, you know. He always said they never go to bed angry, which is a good thing to remember, you know?
I would agree. Always liked Amy, his mom, Miss Lillian, of course, Billy, my favorite presidential sibling. That was something that just attracted me to Carter. With the Carter and Ford election, I was a young man, not old enough to vote, but I saw good and bad in both candidates. I wasn't quite sure about the pardoning of Tricky Dicky by Gerald R. Ford. He was cool. He played football, liked Betty. I felt he was well-spoken, but I thought with Carter, we maybe wanted something a little different, a Southerner.
He was the first Southerner elected since Zachary Taylor in 1848. That's what amazed me. Now, as a Northern New York Jew, I had trouble getting used to it. I voted for him, but I was not thrilled because I said, oh, my God, this guy from Georgia. But he really grew on me over the years, and I have great love for him now.
Yeah, I think Carter...
And I did vote for him twice. And I have to wonder, if it hadn't been for the Iran hostage crisis... And maybe the economy being inflationary. But I think more the Iran hostage crisis. If that had not occurred, I think he might have beaten Reagan. And it might have been a different early 1980s. You know, it's one of those what-ifs if the person who loses wins, you know.
I mean, the Egypt and Israel thing, that was huge and remains so. But the hostages, America just seemed weak. And, you know, we don't take... bad stuff from other countries. We are supposed to be the leader of the free world, if not the world in general. And hostages being taken, that certainly, I think we can agree, that's what caused his defeat in the election, as Reagan just seemed like a stronger leader. And it's a shame, you know, the buck stops here, as Truman said, but is it always the president's fault?
Well, one issue can destroy your reputation for a long time. That's the thing. And I think Iran hostage seizure and the economy really hurt him, but The economy really was not his personal doing. It never is with any president. And Reagan had troubles with the economy, but it hit at the right time in the early 80s, and then by 84 it turned around, so he won easily for a second term. A lot of it's just luck and timing.
Yeah, and that's the way it is in many things. We talked about the presidential rankings on a recent show, and we had Donald Trump fairly high in the list in terms of luck. And Jimmy Carter, I imagine, is pretty low on that list. But in my
Carter's rated in the mid-20s, yeah.
Yeah, from my end.
I think I told you, Trump is rated in a couple of polls near the bottom with Buchanan and Franklin Pierce and Andrew Johnson. I don't know if he's going to rise much after everything that's gone on. I just don't think so. But you never know in the long run, whatever that means, like 50 years, 100 years, you never know.
From my end, Carter and Obama, they grow on you. And I see Obama, I mean, he's taking a break, obviously. I can't say I blame him. But I see him getting...
Obama's in the top 10 now.
Yeah, I see him getting more involved in things going on in the world at some time in the future. He's just in his early 60s. And who knows if Michelle or the daughters will want to run for office. I guess we'll find out. A lot of rumors about that for sure.
I don't think Michelle Obama will ever go for public office. I don't see it happening. I really don't.
So speaking of Barack H. Obama, his muscly armed wife, Michelle, again, I voted her as the first lady I'd most like to go to the gym with, because actually Michelle and I are, well, goodness sakes, we're about the same age. So maybe we could learn from each other. And his two beautiful daughters. I was in the Windy City of Chicago recently, and, I like to explore.
Yes, I understand you visited Chicago. How far is that? How many hundreds of miles is that away?
Depends how you go, but it's between 300 and 375 based upon how you go and what part of town you go to.
Chicago, yeah, last week.
Yeah, and what part?
Yeah, I've been to Chicago. It's back years ago, though, in 2006 and 2000 I was there, yeah. So at that time it was called the Sears Tower. Now it's called the Willis Tower.
Yes, you're 20 miles away, and I mean, even if there's fog, you see that tower. It is ginormous.
Yeah, but they changed the name.
It is a bigly building, Donald Trump, I tell you. So I wanted to drive into the neighborhood where the Obamas hang their hat. You aren't allowed to knock on their door and say, hi, Michelle, how you doing? You want to go to the gym with me? I was hoping I could do that, but you really can't. They do have it blocked off. You can look online and see photos where it just says presidential traffic only. But I did send you a little photo, Ron. Hopefully you enjoyed it. And you can see the house through the trees. Interestingly, it's...
I haven't noticed any photographs. It's on your page, I guess, on Facebook.
Yeah, I sent it to you in a private message. And
I never saw it. It didn't show up on my page. I'll have to look now, yeah.
Yeah, I'll enlarge it for you. But there's a sign that says presidential traffic only. But when I was there, it's like I saw... It's near the university in the Hyde Park area, so I saw some people going into a house nearby, but I assume that they live there or had something going on because it is monitored by the Secret Service. So you can't really walk and even look in their front lawn, but you can see the house through the trees, and it's a nice neighborhood, well-kept older homes, and costing a lot more than I can afford. And interestingly, it's on the same block as a synagogue. And the neighborhood in general, yeah, it's clean and well-kept with some beautiful, well-kept old homes. So that was kind of a fun little adventure. Again, I was hoping maybe to see the former first family out and about. I didn't, but just being in that same area is kind of cool. It's something I certainly enjoy, and Marion again. With all of the pieces of history related to Warren G. Harding, you kind of get a feel for the former presidents as people and their families. So that was kind of a cool little excursion. And maybe next time I'm in the Windy City, I will see them out walking the dog or something. Who knows? I didn't quite know what happens. I mean, I'm sure they go out and walk the dog. And I know President Obama's barber is in that neighborhood. I didn't go there, but certainly that information is available. And it is kind of fascinating that presidents are just regular people. Obama especially, I think he has that down-to-earth nature, which people do find attractive, including myself. And I would say that Mr. Biden is similar. Donald Trump, I mean, yeah, he still puts on one shoe at a time like everybody else. But he has that air about him that doesn't really seem like a regular guy. You probably would agree. Some people might think he's from outer space, but certainly different in terms of their personalities as Homo sapiens. But whether or not you like a particular president or politician, I think appreciating these people just as humans and appreciating what they've done to American history and pop culture makes you stop and pause.
Yeah, personalities are vastly different of the president, no question. Yeah,
yeah. As I said, I tell people I witnessed the change from Carter to Reagan. That was quite a difference. And we saw the change from Obama to Trump. And night and day would be an understatement for sure. And I guess that's all part of the fun of again, being an American and seeing the changing of the guards and understanding that the president may be the most powerful person in the free world, but again, the president's still just a regular human being like we are. So we got about a few minutes left here, Ron. And one more thing I wanted to ask you. We are speaking to Ron Fineman on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Anything else in local news that you wanted to talk to our listeners about?
We could talk about Liz Cheney. Liz Cheney is still moving ahead to do everything she can to keep Donald Trump out of the White House. And I really think, you know, she's thinking of running for president, I'd say, because she won't be in the House of Representatives next year. So if nothing else, to stop Trump, not so much that she thinks she can win the presidency, but just to be even maybe as an independent, it seems, on the ballot, to take some Republican and independent votes away from Trump if he's the nominee. So I really give her credit because she's a profile in courage, as John F. Kennedy wrote about past political figures in his book in 1956. So I really give her credit for that. And I think that's important. Also, Joe Biden's public opinion rating has gone up a bit to the mid-40s in many polls, the high point for the year. But, of course, now, of course, with the rise in mortgage rates, it's hard to figure out what's going to happen. I really don't know what's going to happen as far as what are going to be the key issues, because there are so many different things going on at the same time. I don't know. The question is it going to be inflation and the border crisis that's going to be the big thing, or is it going to be abortion and climate change and all that? It's hard to tell what's going to happen with the midterm elections. If you go by history, the Republicans should do well in both houses, but I'm hopeful they won't, but I don't know.
Whatever happens, we have some fascinating debates, topics to ponder, and more than likely a surprise or two. I mean, certainly Trump becoming president, that was a surprise. So maybe we will finally see our first female president. Liz Cheney, quite different, Ron, from our father, Dick Cheney. I mean,
Well, she's very similar. Actually, she voted, I think, 93% for what Trump wanted. That's the crazy thing. It's not like she's anti-Trump, but she's against what happened on January 6th. So she's not like she was a liberal. There is none in the Republican Party. So I wouldn't vote for her for president because of her voting record, but I admire her courage, and I'm hopeful she or Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, the other Republican who joined the January 6th committee, commission that you know, that they will be running and trying to prevent Trump from being president. Now, that doesn't mean necessarily that they're going to be able to stop somebody else like DeSantis or Rick Scott or others, you know, who want to run. And, of course, Josh Hawley, who put up his fist, and he will never get over that image that he did on January 6th. So, but I'm saying that I think the goal is to stop Trump. And I think DeSantis is going to run no matter what Trump does. I don't think there's any doubt about that, but it's going to cause a real division in the Republican Party, hopefully weaken them enough so the Democrats can keep the White House.
So traditionally she has been more like her father and the mainstream Republican Party, but she switched gears, especially with the January 6th incident. So a bit of an enigma. Maybe that's the best way to say it.
We haven't talked about Queen Elizabeth's funeral because we went on for a couple of weeks. I'm amazed at the loyalty of people waiting in line for up to 24 hours to show their respects. It's absolutely amazing. I could not imagine that happening in the United States. People would get that committed. Like, I'm even thinking, God forbid, when Jimmy Carter dies, we're not going to have a kind of reaction like that as the Queen. But I guess Britain is different and the Queen is different. And I don't think any other person in Britain would ever get that kind of respect, even the new King Charles III.
With a few minutes left, Ron, how do you think it's going in the UK with King Charles and I guess Queen Consort Camilla? Do you see a lot of differences? Do you think he likes being king? I mean, I would like being king.
You talking about King Charles III?
Yes. How you think things are going with...
Well, it's hard to tell, but he would not be able to replace his mother. But actually, I think he's come across pretty well, but I've read that there's plans to probably push Andrew out of the picture, which I think probably makes sense. And maybe Harry and Meghan will be de-emphasized, although hopefully they would get along. Who knows? But actually, the new British Prime Minister, Liz Truss, I am not impressed with at all. And she's trying to promote Reaganomics, which never really worked. And I think she has a very negative image now. And some polls show the Labour Party, if they had an election now, the opposition would win control of the House of Commons. So I'm not impressed by her at all. You know, I'm really not. And also, now in Italy, we have this new person, also a woman, their woman leaders, Giorgia Meloni, who is a admirer of Mussolini and is a fascist. And that makes Italy very unstable and a problem for the NATO alliance against Russia in the Ukraine war. So there's all kinds of things to worry about. We may have World War III on our doorsteps. Maybe this hurricane would be seen as secondary if he start having a shooting war directly with Russia and the danger of nuclear war, because he's threatening it right now for Vladimir Putin.
The annexation by Putin, to me,
it's
that does seem like
a land grab since World War II. Yes, it's four territories of Ukraine. I don't know how this is going to end up properly, but there's also the possibility Putin might be overthrown. Also, in Iran, they have a lot of demonstrations. In Cuba, after the hurricane, an awful lot of rising up against authority. I don't think they can do much. But in Russia, we have people trying to escape the draft, trying to escape the country, because now they have a draft. So it's a very unstable world situation, along with the economy not in good shape and climate change going on. And it's hard to really have a very good feeling about the future of the country and the world right now. It seems almost like back to the pre-World War II period in many ways.
Yeah, I would like to close the show by saying, let's all try to get along. We may have our differences. Ron and I certainly have our differences. And we agreed if we start doing the shows regularly again, we will have less disagreement and we can have a healthy debate. And more just discussing the fact that we're on the same team as Americans. We see the good and bad in all candidates, including ones we like, ones we don't like. And bottom line is, we're Americans and really think we should be on the same team. And let's hope we can continue to do that.
Well, I think I wish the country could. Yes, there's political differences, but there's such viciousness now. I wish that could be overcome and we could have more of an understanding of what's good for the nation. But it's in the time of Donald Trump, it's not going to be that way, because he's still trying to reclaim the White House. If he disappeared from the picture, I think things could get much better. But right now, it doesn't look that way.
Well, we shall see. The 2024 election will be a very good one, if you like. Controversy.
Okay, lots to talk about and write about and speak about, no question. And it really will begin once the midterms are over, people will start to announce for president. Yep.
And it will
and
be
the
very,
question will be, is Joe Biden, he seems to say he would run. Now it seems like he's not, he's not saying for sure, so maybe he will decide not to run, and that's a big debate. And then if he doesn't run, oh my God, everybody in the world will be running for president on both sides.
It'll be very good for people in the political teaching profession like Ron, more folks taking your class, offering their opinions, lots of things to write essays and PhD theses on. Never a dearth of topics, that's for sure.
Yep, you're right.
Ron Feinman, we want to thank you again for being with me.
Yeah, thanks so much. It was a good show, and I'm glad that you took that trip to Chicago. So you saw quite a few sights, huh?
Yeah, I mean, you could spend a year there and barely scratch the surface.
Yeah, of course, just like New York, yes.
Yeah, so you just pick which areas maybe you've not been to before, because I really not been around Hyde Park. I went to Chinatown, of course, I always go there. Had a wonderful lunch, walked around, fascinating area, and it's not too far from Hyde Park. So, get in the car and take a little trip. Weather was pretty nice. And whenever you go somewhere a little different, you always learn something. Every day you wake up, it's not just a blessing that you're alive, but it's a learning experience, and we can agree on that.
Have a good week. I appreciate being on the show.
Yep. Thanks again, Ron. Be sure again to visit his blog daily, theprogressiveprofessor.com, and follow him on Facebook, and I believe you're on Twitter. You don't have mean tweets like Donald Trump, but you do have a tweet from time to time, Polithist, P-O-L-I-T-H-I-S-T. Is that correct? That would be his Twitter handle. And thank you again for listening to the Adam the Computer Guy mid-morning and early afternoon coffee break here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.